Scripture. Take your Bibles, turn to John chapter 15. John chapter 15. We're going to read verses 1 through 11 together. John chapter 15, verses 1 through 11. And I want to talk to our church tonight. We'll be out on time, because I'll crash land the plane whether we're doing or not. John chapter 15, we're going to read verses 1 through 11 together. And let's read responsively. I am the vine, and I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. And every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. Now you are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Abide in me, and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine. No more can ye, except ye abide in me. I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit, for without me ye can do nothing. If a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch, and is withered, and men gather them, and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. If ye abide in me, and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you. Herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit. So shall ye be my disciples. As the Father hath loved me, so have I loved you. Continue ye in my love. If ye keep my commandments, ye shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments, and I abide in his love. And let's finish on verse 11 together. Ready? These things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full. And let's pray. Father, I need you tonight. Holy Spirit of God, help us as we rightly divide the word of truth. Help us to hear with the Spirit. Help us to hear what you have to say. But Lord, it would be futile just to hear the words and do nothing about it. Change our lives because of it, please. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. This is the season, spring, for planting and getting flower beds ready for growing and trees and all that kind of stuff. Some plants need they call it deadheading, or the dead stuff broken out of them and all the dead stuff removed from it so that they can grow back this year, get the old things pruned off. Still others need to be planted year by year. And, of course, you've got mulch that needs added to keep the weeds down and keep things looking nice. And just a lot of work if you're into landscaping and working around the house or whatever. I enjoy that kind of work. I don't know about you, but I do. With our new house, it was kind of strange. I didn't plant grass. They put sod down. I didn't plant anything. They put all the shrubbery and the flowers and stuff in for me this spring. I added a few, but I don't have to add much to it. And I told my wife I don't plan on going all the way around the house doing things with things. I'm just going to let it be simple. But I enjoyed, I was out this week planting some mums that Dad had given me. Trees this time of year need pruned as well. It's getting towards later part of the season for that. But some trees, they get what I call suckers on them. They get branches that start growing out of the trunk, and you break them off. That way you keep the nutrients and stuff going to the rest of the tree to grow it. That way you don't have to duck your head to mow and everything else and cut all those things off. And some, you got to clean them out, the trees. You got to cut them out so that the wind will blow through a little easier, so that they don't break as much when the high winds come. If you have Bradford pears, oh, those trees, they have so many little limbs on them. And what ends up happening is it becomes almost like a canopy. And that's why so many Bradford pears break, because people don't trim the inside of them and clean them out. If you do that, the wind can go through there and they won't break as easily. Now, everything needs pruned, and some of it's waste. You just burn it. My dad has a jungle around, I mean a bunch around his house, and every year or so he's got a billion mums. And he pulls them out, and you can throw them away, or he'll give them to people to plant. You can transplant them, pull them out, stick them in the ground. They're almost like weeds, but you can transplant and move things around. Mrs. Barnes, there was a tree that she wanted, and she took about 6 or 8 starts off of the tree and put them in water and started it, and it rooted, and she's planting those trees. And there are things like that that you can do. I realize the dead stuff needs taken off. You say, why? Because that keeps your main plant productive. That is what keeps it producing. That's what keeps it nice. That's what keeps it, if it's a fruit tree, producing fruit. If it's flowers, it keeps it blooming nice. You got to prune your rose bushes and get those trimmed back so that they'll produce more. If you just let them grow wild, eventually it loses its beauty and doesn't produce as many roses. A friend of mine was out working recently in her yard, and she sent me a text after she was done, and she lives in a different state, friend of my wife and I. I'm going to read her text to you. I wrote it out. I'm not reading it off my phone. Not doing that. I'm not breaking the rule, all right? But as I read this, I texted her back and I said, I have a whole sermon that I got just out of reading your text tonight, and I'm going to preach that sermon to you. But I want to read this so that it fits in context with what I'm preaching tonight. The weather was finally nice, and I decided to tackle the pruning of my rose bushes. It did not get done this past fall, so it was in desperate need. It had overgrown and dead branches, all of which reached out to stick on your skin and snag your clothes as you got close. As I began to trim away the dead branches, I began to talk to the rose bush. Now, I don't do that, all right? She does, but I don't do that. I have weird friends, all right? I let it know that if it would look so much better when I was done. I also let it know that it would be able to produce much nicer roses after it was trimmed. In spite of my desire to help it, it continued to scratch and poke my skin and my clothing. It didn't seem to care that I was wanting to help it. It dawned on me how I must often seem like a rose bush to God. I allow sin to creep into my thoughts. I begin to grow out of control. An attitude here, a proud thought here, a stretch of the truth occasionally, and possibly even skipping prayer because I'm just so busy. If I don't allow God's words to water me and the preaching of God's word to prune me, my sin nature will grow out of control. When this happens, I too begin to painfully scratch at those things around me with criticism, judgment, anger, selfishness. Soon, no one wants to get close, no matter how sweet the blossom will be. Often, God as the gardener lovingly whispers through the Holy Spirit during a sermon, or as you read your Bible or through godly counsel. He says, "You will be so much better if you submit to your will to mine. Allow me to prune the dead and unnecessary out so you can have more blossoms and be more productive." Sometimes, I even strike out at him complaining that he is not being fair. All of this because I think I know better how to run my life. Why not? He's only the creator. This is my life. As I begin to confess my sin and my faults and submit to him, I begin to see that he was right all the time. I know at the I kneel at the altar and allow him to prune me, shape me, help me be more than if I just grow wildly. Think how many more lives I can help if I allow him to do this. What a profound text. What a profound thought. My mind immediately went to John chapter 15. I was probably a 10 or 11-year-old boy, and I memorized the entire chapter of John chapter 15 with about 100 other verses in 1 week of Bible school so that I could win my mom a Bible. She still has that Bible. I memorized about 130, 140 verses of 5 days of Bible school 1 week. And one of those sections that I memorized was the entire chapter of John chapter 15. My mind went to John 15 as I read this verse. And as we read in John 15, I am the true vine, my Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh it away. He's talking about springtime and cleaning things up. And every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it. He's trimming it up so that it can be strong enough and bear more fruit, that it may bring forth more fruit. And this whole chapter reminded me of my friend's text. And I sat down at my desk with my phone writing her email or her text out and my Bible open and started working through this. And I'm going to give you a little study that I sat in my office with recently. Number one, I love this. Jesus is the main plant. Everything is to be coming from him for our existence. Can I tell you something? The Bible says in John chapter 15, verse number 1, I am the vine. Yes. Jesus is that main plant. That word vine could be also the trunk. He's the main part of the plant or the main part of the tree. Brother Mike, I'm about to shout. I'm about to have some fun tonight. Just smile, everybody, all right? It's okay. It's going to be fine. You see, he is the one that supplies the water. He's the one that allows the water to flow through him. You know what the trunk of the tree does? Trunk of the tree sucks the water from the roots, takes it up to the branches to feed everything. Brother Barnes and I, a couple years ago, were cutting down a great big old oak tree up at Brother Bob Kellerman's place. We cut into that thing, and the water started gushing out. I had never, remember that? I'd never seen a tree. I've seen it get wet, but the water was gushing out. I mean, gallons of water. It fell over, and the water was just pouring out of this tree. And can I tell you something? That's exactly what God says here. He is the vine. According to John chapter 4, verses 10 through 14, the Bible says that Jesus said, I am the water of life. It is Jesus who is the main plant. He is the one that supplies the water for our each and our every need. He is the one who supplies the food for us to be productive. Listen to this. John chapter 4, verses 31 through 34 says that he is our meat. Meat is food. By the way, meat is food. Notice that God spared all the meat on the ark, not the plants. God saved the meat. Amen. To you vegetarians. Anyway, he said in John chapter 6, verses 35 and verse 48, he is the bread. Can I tell you something? Bread is food. In 1 Peter chapter 2, verse number 2, it says that he is the milk of the word. Can I tell you something? Jesus is the one to supply the food for our life. When you eat contaminated food, you get contaminated health. You leave a chicken sit out in 50, 60, 70 degree weather and let it sit there for 3 days before you cook it, and then you cook it, you're going to get sick. It's going to grow all kinds of critters in it. You're going to get food poisoning. It's called botulism. Y'all know, how many of you have ever had food poisoning before? That is not a pleasant experience. My wife has only had it once, and it was right when she found out she was pregnant with our oldest. Not only did she have morning sickness, but she had food poisoning on top of it. That was not a good thing. Can I tell you something? Too many people are eating contaminated food spiritually in our world today. Look at the bitterness. Look at the anger. Look at the liberalism of our day. And it's anti-God and it's anti-right. It's anti-morality. Oh, I just wanted the freedom to do whatever I want to do. You don't have the freedom to do what you want to do when it infringes on right and wrong. The more dependent on the vine we are, the more profitable we become. Do you hear that? the more dependent on the vine that you are, the more profitable and the more productive you become. As soon as we take ourselves from the vine, we begin to corrupt and die. You go out and cut a branch off the tree, unless you have something or some wherewithal to supply food and nutrients to it, it's going to die. Period. You have to be able to supply nutrients, but the moment you cut it, it begins dying. You cut roses from your rose bush or shrub. You cut your roses, you have to put them in water, or before too long, it doesn't take long, they start, they get to be crispy little critters. See, the more dependent on the vine that you are, the more productive you become. Now listen to this. I'm about to have a spell here. We don't produce the fruit. The vine does. The vine produces the fruit. The vine is what keeps the branches healthy enough to be able to produce fruit. Listen to me very carefully. I hope this gets on the internet and every preacher in the world would listen to this. I've been around preachers that say, you need to go out soul winning and don't come back till you get somebody saved. Well, I hate to tell you, that's against what the Word of God says. Our job is not to get people saved. Our job is to get the gospel out. We don't get people saved anyway. It's the power of God unto salvation to everybody that believeth, right, not to the soul winner. Our job is to get the gospel out. I believe the more we get it out, the more people will get saved.
Yes, sir.
Yep. Can I tell you something? I don't care. If you go out soul winning 52 weeks in a row and never see anybody saved, you're obedient to God and God's pleased with your life.
Yes.
Everybody hear that? I don't believe it's your job to get people saved, scripturally. It is the vine that produces the fruit, not the branches. You are simply attached to the vine so that he can flow through you so that fruit can be produced. I believe the more we let it flow through us, the more people will get saved. I believe that's true. But may I say this? I don't care if you go soul winning the rest of your life and never have anybody saved, you're still obedient to God. I knew a preacher. I won't tell you what state. But I knew several preachers like this, but this one in particular. He would not pay his staff if they didn't have somebody saved, down the aisle, and baptized every Sunday. I heard him preach sermons like that all over the country. What he doesn't know is how I counseled his staff members to try to keep them encouraged enough not to quit the ministry. They all had go-to people that could get saved and baptized again so they could get the paycheck and feed their families. Now, I hate to tell you something. That's wicked as the devil. Nowhere in the Bible does it command you to have people saved, Brother Mike. But God did command you and commanded 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 me to get the gospel to every creature.
Yes.
It's our job to get the gospel out. Not to make sure and beat them over the head and drag them down the aisle to get them saved. Folks, I can't make anybody get saved. I can get somebody to say a prayer, but that doesn't get them saved. Everybody doing okay? Man, I'm having fun right now. It is the vine that produces the fruit, not the branches. Without the vine, the branches have no fruit. The branches are only there so that as the food and the water pass through, that it's able to capture and blossom and produce fruit for the vine, but you cut the vine, the fruit's gone. Number two. So we said number one, Jesus is the main plant. Everything is to come through him for existence. He said, I am the vine. Folks, we as Christians, our Christian life is dependent on him. We're to yield to him so that he can live through us. That's why he gave us the Holy Spirit. He will work through you. Number two, God is the husbandman, or another word for husbandman is the word gardener or farmer. Look at verse number one again. I am the true vine, that's Jesus, and my Father is the husbandman. Guess what? God knows more about you than you know about you. God knows more about the plant of a person's life than any person does. Any farmer knows more about cultivating the fields than any grain of corn. We're just that grain of corn. We're just that grain of wheat. We're that seed for a flower. We're that sprout for a shrub or a hedge. We don't know more about life than God does. God is the one who is to do the purging, not you. Everybody listen to me very carefully here. We're not to be judging each other or pruning each other. You've heard me say it, about that time to say it again. Be a cold day where the booger man lives. That's in the heart of the earth called Hades. Going to be a cold day where the booger man lives before we have church discipline and pull somebody up here and make them stand in front of you and I tell you all the bad things that they did. There's no such thing as that in the scriptures, just so you know. That is unbiblical. It is as unscriptural as anything there is in our world today. Everybody doing okay? Well, I don't like that. Good. Find somebody else. But I'm. How about you come up here? We'll tell everybody what you've done. Number one, you can't forgive them anyway. Only God can. I heard one of those Yahoo preachers about a year and a half ago. He said, well, there's just certain sins that need to be exposed to the church. Show me in Scripture where one sin's different than another. You go to Revelation chapter 1, but the fearful and the unbelieving and the abominable and sorcerers and all whoremongers and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burn with fire and brimstone. God put lying in the same sentence as witchcraft, sorcery, and whoremongers. I guess if God puts lying in there, let's bring you up here first. There is no degree of sin. One sin's bad enough to take you to hell. Guess what? All sin is sin. Everybody doing okay? Well, aren't you going to exercise church discipline? Yes. We're going to love those who are fallen and lift them up. We're not going to kick them while they're down and beat the snot out of them while they're down thinking we're holy. It is not your job to purge somebody's life. It's God's job to purge them. Everybody doing okay? Not every branch produces as much as every other branch. Did you know it's not a competition between branches how much fruit is produced? Everybody doing okay? Did you know there are some branches that don't produce much fruit, but they hold branches that do? You see, producing fruit is not a competition. It's a team thing. You see, it's not our job to be God. Well, so-and-so came and they didn't have control of their children. Oh, God bless you. And what was your house like? You bring them. We'll teach them. We'll be patient. Well, they might make noise. Good. At least I know they're listening. Everybody doing all right? Joe and Ashley aren't able to be here tonight, but it's hard to believe 4 or 5 years ago when Joe and Ashley came, y'all remember Gus? The little boy that they said would never talk. the one that sat in church and real loud. They got embarrassed. I said, it's okay, it's just Gus. Everything will be all right. He'll learn. Watch him sit in junior church and know what that man's preaching about. He can write out sermon outlines from Brother Lopez. That little boy can sit there and write out the plan of salvation. Now, he can't talk real well, but he gets more than most people do. I told Joe and Ashley, you just keep bringing him. Remember we put him in the nursery, and you nursery workers were ready to pull your hair out and mine? That's why it's getting thin back there. Man, we could hear him through six walls. He was loud. He'd get mean. He'd throw things. But we loved on him. We bought him gallons of bubbles. Remember that? He loved bubbles. It looked like the Lawrence Welk show after every church service. It was great. I'll never forget. I'd always tell him, Gus, I love you. And I'd grab his hand and shake his hand. He would do this. I'll never forget the day he walked up to me. And Ashley stood there in a puddle of tears. Remember the day I put my arm around him and he put his arm around me. I said, Gus, I love you. He said, I love you. The little boy wasn't supposed to communicate, never going to talk. I remember standing in the parking lot saying, Gus, or Joe and Ashley, you keep bringing him. We'll just love on him and Jesus will take care of the rest. Yes, he's going to be one of my church greeters before too long. Say, well, he's not normal. I think he's more normal than normal people. I'll take it any day. I'll take it any day. He won't go anywhere without his Bible. Preacher bought him a Bible. He won't go anywhere without his Bible. He makes sure everybody's got their Bible. One of the first words he ever said was Bible. Whew. Say, what is that, God? Work it in the heart of a special little boy. See, God's the one that can prune us. Some of you may have gotten a little upset because he was so loud. Guess what? Look what God did. Number three, I've got to hurry. This is the last thing I'll give. Not only is Jesus the main plant, not only is God the gardener, but I love this, God wants us to be fruitful. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away, and every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. Notice something. Fruit is not just something sweet to eat. You all know what an apple is, right? They come in different colors, different shapes, different sizes. They're like people. An apple. My wife's favorite is, what do you call that thing? Pink Lady. They've got Red Delicious. They got Golden Delicious. They got my, I like the Granny Smith, the green ones, the sour ones. Give me them green ones, buddy. They're good. I like an apple that bites back when you bite into it, amen? But do you know what an apple actually is? It's actually a seed pod. It's no different than a walnut in a shell. God made it to where that fruit grows around the seeds, and that fruit is able to be then planted, and that fruit around it will rot and cause that seed to germinate and grow another tree. Fruit is actually a seed pod. That's why you don't eat the core of the apple. Because what's in there? That hard stuff and the seeds. Eat that apple and get those little black seeds in there. And spit them at the dog and let her eat them. And all kinds of good stuff. Now wait a minute. Fruit is not just something sweet to eat. It's actually a seed pod so that another tree or another plant can grow. See where we're headed with this? God does not produce seedless fruit. Man does. Do you know that seedless watermelon can't reproduce itself? There's no seed. It's a hybrid. Just like contemporary Christianity can't reproduce itself. There's no seed. God wants us reproducing things that can reproduce. God doesn't want you just to go out and produce fruit. He wants you to produce fruit so that it can come back, be planted, and it can start trees and plants everywhere.
Amen.
It's to grow so that it can grow, to teach other things to grow, so that it can multiply, not just add, and say, look all I produced. You see, he enjoys the baskets of fruit. But he wants more fruit trees. He doesn't want just baskets of fruit. He doesn't want us just presenting a basket of fruit. He wants us to take those seeds and plant them and turn that fruit into an orchard, not just one tree that bears fruit. And as a Christian, our job isn't just to get a basket of fruit. It's to take that basket of fruit, get those seeds, plant them, and turn it into a giant orchard for God by the time we quit sucking air. It's not about how many baskets of fruit you got off your tree. How about how many trees did you plant by the fruit that you grew? Anybody doing okay? This means we all need to go out and produce fruit. By allowing God to work through us, not only get them, but teach them how to produce fruit. That's what the Great Commission is all about. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even in the end of the world. Amen. In other words, don't just go get them saved, dunk them, let them go. We need to teach them how to go out and get people saved, bring them in, and teach them how to teach them how to get people saved. And that's how you perpetuate it. I love seeing people get saved. Lady this morning, my wife went back and led her to the Lord at the end of the invitation this morning. I love watching that. But can I tell you something? I love watching people that have gotten saved that all of a sudden they start going out and seeing people get saved. And it really gets exciting when people that you've led to the Lord, that you've taught to go win souls, are now having people that they've won to Christ that are going out teaching other people how to get people saved. I've lived in the ministry long enough to see that multiplied over and over and over and over and over again. I have teenagers that are now in the ministry. I got a black evangelist, Jamie Jackson. He's going to love coming here to preach because he's 6'10" or 6'11". He'll walk through a 7-foot door. Those are 8-foot doors. He's going to be able to walk in and not duck. He's the kid when I paddled him, he had to get on his knees for me to paddle him when he was in school. Because his paddling parts were right there. And it's like a baseball swing. Kapow, I was going to kill him. I started laughing. He said, what's the matter? I said, either I got to stand on a chair or you got to get on your knees. I said, which do you prefer? He said, doesn't matter. I said, my mom always has me get on my knees. I said, I understand why. And I get down on your knees. He's now an evangelist. I'm going to have him come here and preach one of these days. You're going to love it. He's nuts. I mean, gone, crazy nuts. I got a teenage girl, same youth department. She's married to an evangelist, and they've traveled the world, preaching the gospel, seeing people get saved. My wife and I had a young couples class and been involved in many young couples classes, but I've got families that are missionaries on the mission field that we won to Christ, and their kids are now, and people that they've trained are now training people on the mission field. I've got folks down in other parts all over the country that we have trained that are now bus captains and bus workers and Sunday school teachers. And you say, why? Because we went out and won them to Christ, brought them and trained them, and now they're serving God full time all over this country, all over the world. Can I tell you something? God doesn't want you just to plunker down here and say, put my time in. No, let's go produce fruit so we can go plant a vineyard. So we can go out and plant an orchard. By the way, we need to teach them how to serve. That means you get them, you bring them in, and teach them what tithing's all about. Teach them what Sunday school is all about. Teach them what Sunday night church and Wednesday night church is all about. I think everybody ought to be here every chance you get and bring somebody with you each and every service.
Yes, sir.
Hey, we're pretty good about having visitors every week. How about we start having visitors every service? Everybody doing all right? Okay, we're fixing to put the pedal to the metal. We need to help them serve. That means instead of saying, you should go soul winning, why don't you walk up and say, how about you go soul winning with me? Instead of just saying, you need to come to men's prayer breakfast, how about you say, you come with to prayer breakfast with me? Everybody doing okay? By the way, we can't do more unless we get them here. Pray therefore laborers into the harvest. Did you know God's concerned about the fruit trees? You got to keep the fruit trees healthy, because your fruit trees are that which is giving you the seed to be able to have more trees. Let me show you what I mean. Nadia here this morning, just one of our teen bus girls, just a junior high girl, pretty rough. But Mrs. Lopez has invested her life in that little girl. She got saved. Her home life is deplorable. Her birthday was this last week. About half a dozen of you ladies sent her texts or different things this week. She told Mrs. Lopez yesterday. She said, thanks. She said, I already knew your church loved me. My mom didn't even acknowledge my birthday this week. Didn't even say anything to me. The only birthday she got was from the people in this church. Don't you think I'll be a little patient with her when she doesn't know how to quite behave in church? Everybody doing okay? She sat right down there today, and I was proud of her. You see, she's been going soul winning on Saturdays with Mrs. Lopez and Miss Marcia. Well, she's not everything she should be. Are you? Did you go this week? Did you tell somebody this week? Before we point our pharisaical finger and snoot at somebody, how about we just start cleaning up our own tree?
Yes, sir.
How about we let God start pruning us a little bit? So what's separation about pruning? We're supposed to come out from the world and be separate. We're not supposed to act like the world, dress like the world, entertain ourselves like the world, be like the world. We've got to get those things cut off so we can get closer to Him. So that we can produce more fruit, so we can have more beautiful flowers, so that we can have more trees, so we can have more plants. Whatever you choose to do on that, it may happen, but may I say this, we have got to be attached to the vine, and He is the one that produces it through us. There are so many more applications. I could preach for a month on this one chapter, this one thought. I won't. But may I say this, I wonder what dead things need cut out of your life. What needs pruned in your life? Say, how does God prune? As you read the Bible, God convicts you. As the big mouth preacher gets up and preaches about your sin, you start going, ooh, that's me. Ouch, that was me. Yeah. Or as somebody once said, did you record our conversation? No. I wasn't listening. The Holy Spirit was. Everybody doing okay? Say why? Because I'd like to be a fruit tree producing church. Not just a fruit producing church. Now the fruit's good, but we need the fruit trees too. And you got to have the fruit in order to get the trees. So it's important to get the fruit, but we got to plant the seed that's inside the fruit. And that's exactly what John 15 is all about. My dear friend, she sent me that text this week. It was so profound. I sat at my desk and pulled out a piece of paper and pulled out my Bible and wrote these thoughts down. And I wanted to bring them to you tonight because I felt like it was appropriate for our church. Let's have some spring pruning in our own lives as Christians. You say, well, I don't have anything to prune. Then you better check and make sure you're saved. Are you 100% sure you're going to heaven tonight? Don't walk out those doors on your way to hell. Get saved. Well, I just don't know if I believe all that. Doesn't matter how much of it you believe. There's a heaven, there's a hell. And quit trying to logic it and quit trying to be God. Just trust it. Attached to the right vine, because if you're not, you're dying and you're corrupt. And I hate to tell you, the Bible talks in John 15 later in the chapter about that which is cut away is taken and burned. Talking about hell. You'll burn for eternity. That's not what we want. Every head bowed, every eye closed, I'm done. I wonder who would say, preacher, somewhere inside that sermon, something I needed tonight. Would you raise your hand? Oh, my soul. Many, 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 many hands. You may put them down. Say, preacher, if I were to die tonight, I'm not sure I'd go to heaven, but I'd like to know that for sure someday. Would you raise your hand? I won't embarrass you. All right.